The quest for the crown is a journey in time.
The New York Giants! Giants with the most improbable record!
He's got four!
To the Eastern title.
With all the endless hours and effort, the equation for winning is not an exact science.
New York Giants first round selection.
The foundation for success is built at an early stage.
We've been building a great new team with some exciting new stars.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
Young men whose character and play become the formula for victory.
Prince Amukamara. The New York Giants select Odell Beckham.
And tonight, that journey continues. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next 2 hours, we will get you set for the Giants pick, ninth overall in this year's NFL Draft. We'll hear from who the Giants draft. We'll hear from Tom Coughlin, Mark Ross, Jerry Reese, and we will get you set for it tonight. And not only do I have my buddy Carl Banks with me, a two-time Super Bowl champion, we added another guy that has two Super Bowl rings, members of Super Bowls 42 and 46, David Deal. They are all set to go over the next 2 hours, and we're going to break it all down for you, kind of the kickoff for the 2015 season. Let's take a look at what's on our menu board for tonight. We're going to take a look at the key departures and key additions for the New York Giants. On the mend, injured players who are expected to make contributions this year. Spags is back. The Giants have Steve Spagnuolo back as defensive coordinator. We're going to take a look at the defensive secondary and the linebackers and defensive line. We'll take a look on the offensive side of the ball as well with the skill position players and the Giants' offensive line. We'll also look back at the impact of the 2014 NFL draft for the New York Giants. And, of course, we will take a look at the NFC East, and then we will reveal when the Giants have their pick, all the excitement that goes along with it. So, gentlemen, we get things started, and this is a very exciting night for these young men. The NFL draft is just about underway in your hometown of Chicago, Illinois.
Yep.
Carl Banks, you were a first-round draft pick in 1984. David Deal was a fifth-round draft pick in 2003. Both you guys had long careers. It's an important night, but tonight is just the beginning, isn't it?
It really is the beginning because you have young men that have excelled and fans are excited about what could be, what they see from college highlights. But then they have to transition into the big leagues. And that's when you really can tell if the pick was worthy of its choosing.
David, what do you think about sort of this night? You went through it in 2003. I mean, obviously drafted in the fifth round. You had to wait a little bit, but you're all about hard work. And just because you get drafted tonight, it's no guarantee that you're going to become a star in the NFL.
This is just giving you the opportunity to get your foot in the door. Granted, you've worked extremely hard and you've prepared to get to this point. But this is just the beginning for you. Tonight's a day to celebrate with your friends and family and for the accomplishments that you've had thus far. But this is only the beginning for you.
Do you remember your draft memory? I mean, obviously the coverage is a little different than it is right now.
Yeah, I was in my dorm, actually not in my dorm, in my coach's office. And my coach was, I didn't know where I was going to be drafted. Then I get a call from Bill Parcells. Then he says, I didn't draft you to sit you on the bench. And that's when the pressure hit. And that's what these young men in this draft class will be feeling because three or four of these guys are going to have to be day one starters.
All right, David, what was it like for you draft day 2003?
It was a great experience for me. I mean, just to be able to sit there with your family and to have that day with them. But for me, being a fifth-round guy, a second-day guy, you have a chip on your shoulder. You want to work. You want to get back to football. And the biggest thing for you, like I said, is even though you're a fifth-round guy, you're there. Your foot's in the door. And at that point, where you were picked, what round, it does not matter. You're there to prove yourself and to prove that you were the right choice when they picked you.
All right. It is Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. We've got more than 10 items for you. We're going to take your phone calls throughout the course of the show at 201-939-4513. We'll take your questions via Twitter as well. So we're going to interact with you, the Giants fans, throughout the course of the evening. But like we do on Giants First and 10 in season, on Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, we put item number one up on the board. And item number one up on the board is key departures for the New York Giants this season and key additions. And we take a look at some of the players that are no longer Giants. Antrell Roll has gone on to the Chicago Bears. Take a look at the players that are no longer with the New York Giants or at least remain unsigned in the National Football League. And then we take a look at some of the key additions as the Giants made their move in the offseason and obviously added players that they feel can be real key contributors to this football team when you take a look at what the Giants decided to do. And when you look at the losses and then you dive into the Giants' key additions, you know, you see that the Giants are trying to get some things done and really sort of revamp this team. So we looked at the departures for the Giants. Now we're going to take a look at some of the key additions for the football team. And obviously one of the big signings, Shane Vereen, who comes over from the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. We've got Dwayne Harris, who comes from the Dallas Cowboys. Marshall Newhouse will at least compete for a backup job. They added a couple linebackers in JT Thomas and Jonathan Casillas. Kenrick Ellis for the defensive line, and George Selvey. So let's dig into Carl Banks, some of the key departures for the New York Giants. And we'll start with one of the guys that was a leader on this football team in Antrell Roll, and the Giants deciding to part ways with Antrell Roll.
Well, when you look at this roster and you look at the guys that have departed, there are only a few guys that even finished the season that left, and maybe one guy who was a real impact player. And that was Antrell Roll. He was the heartbeat. He was the leader of that secondary and the leader of the team. And then you skip all the way over to Spencer Paisinger, who probably could have made a bigger contribution, but he just kind of disappeared. And I don't know if those were coaching decisions or not. And then the rest of these guys never finished the season. Stevie Brown, a guy could have helped them, but he just never made it back beyond special teams.
All right, so David, you played with Antrell Roll. You won a Super Bowl with Antrell Roll. That's a big leadership void that the Giants are losing back there.
It's a very big leadership role, and you take into account that Steve Spagnuolo, a new defensive coordinator, you have two safeties that are both gone that were starters last year, and usually those older guys, the Antrell Rolls, the veterans, are the ones that show the ropes to the younger guys. The older guys are the ones who pick it up quicker, and they're the ones who can really be the leaders and transition it from the bottom to the top and start everything all over. So not having that veteran leadership is very difficult when you have a new defensive coordinator.
All right, we are going to take a timeout here on Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. Right now, the Tampa Bay Bucs with the number one overall pick are on the clock. There's about 7 minutes to go. They're expected to take Jameis Winston. We're going to get you set for the Giants pick, which is ninth overall, as we continue with Giants First and 10. Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon.
Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Won't do it, can't do it.
Well, yeah, at least they got two picks. Yeah.
Cleveland doesn't want that. They don't want Mariota.
No.
Okay.
$15 back deal.
Gotcha. I heard you.
We're on two.
Oh, I can feel the air.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. A little bit of a different view on draft night. It is not Manhattan. It is not New York City. It's the Windy City and Grant Park, which is playing host to this year's draft in the National Football League. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one overall pick. They are on the clock. The pick is in. Has not yet been announced, but we continue our look at the New York Giants, and we put item number two up on the board as we take a look at an update from injured players for the Giants. And you take a look at the guys that were on injured reserve last year. The Giants had the most of any team in the National Football League. Notable names like Prince Amukamara, who got off to a good start. They did not have John Beeson's leadership. Obviously, a guy like Victor Cruz, a huge component to not have on the football team last year, hurt early in the year in Philadelphia. So we'll kind of get things started here, Carl, and we're going to go through some of the players that the Giants are hoping to get back this year. And we'll start with Victor Cruz, the severe knee injury that he's coming back from. What do you think the Giants are expecting from Cruz, if anything, really at all?
Well, he's had a full offseason of rehab, and I think that they expect him to be exactly where he was, but he doesn't have to carry the load right now because of Odell Beckham.
David, obviously such a dynamic part of the offense Victor Cruz has been for the New York Giants. Does it take a little bit of pressure off him coming back, knowing that there's a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. there, and Cruz doesn't have to come back and be the number one guy?
I think it does take a little bit of pressure off for the sheer fact that you want Victor Cruz to come back fully healthy. You don't want to push anything. You want it to come back when he's fully stable and able to play the way that we've seen Victor Cruz play. But having said that, we all know Victor. We've all seen him here this entire offseason working. He's a guy who's going to push himself. And I know that the medical staff and Coach Coughlin are the ones who are going to have to pull him back to make sure he does the right thing and gets back when he's fully healed.
All right, Carl, let's go to your side of the ball and John Beeson. 2 years ago, when the Giants acquired him from the Carolina Panthers, he made an immediate impact, played linebacker in a way that you're accustomed to seeing linebacker play. Then they didn't have him last year, really, for most of the year. How important would it be to get him back?
Well, to get him back and to get him productive, but I think it's going to take a supporting cast. He's so good at what he does, but at his age, you're going to have to get better production from a lot of guys and use him in situations where he can be most impactful and not stress his body out.
All right, so the Giants are hoping John Beeson can return to that form from a couple of years ago with the Giants. Jameis Winston, selected number one overall by the Tampa Bay Bucks. Remember, the Giants pick ninth. We'll have all the coverage of the Giants draft pick when they do make it. All right, you played with Prince Amukamara. He's another guy that, you know, was really starting to round into form last year, and then he gets hurt in the Indianapolis game. How important is it to get him back?
It is crucial to get Prince Nakamura back for the sheer fact that Steve Spagnuolo is going to attack. He wants to pressure. He wants to blitz. And when you do that, what do? You put your corners on an island. They've got to be able to jam. They've got to be able to press. And they've got to be able to play one-on-one. So in order to get him back, that's the only way that this defense can function the way that Steve Spagnuolo wants it to.
Quickly, you like the way his game has evolved a little bit?
I absolutely do. He's a student of the game, but he's always been a big, physical, good tackler. But fundamentally, he is as sound as you're going to see at that position.
All right, Jameis Winston selected number one overall by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Giants have the ninth overall selection. We're going to continue digging into what the Giants may need, what kind of the plans possibly could be for the New York Giants as we get you set for this 2015 season. Telephone number is 201-939-4513 or hit us hashtag Giants. Make sure you send us a question via Twitter on the Giants mobile app. When we come back, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post will join us here on Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. We welcome you back to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon from our Quest Diagnostics Training Center studios. Bob Papa, Carl Banks, David Deal, and we are joined by Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, who covers not only the Giants, but the National Football League. And item number three goes up on the board, and Spags is back. The Giants have turned back to their past to bring Steve Spagnuolo back as their defensive coordinator. Of course, Spagnuolo was the Giants' defensive coordinator when they won Super Bowl 42. But Paul Schwartz, a little bit different cast of characters. He had O.C. Umenyiora in his prime. He had Michael Strahan, veteran leadership. He had guys like Justin Tuck. It's a little bit different cast that he's coming into now.
Well, that's why you have a new defensive coordinator, because the defense was not playing well, and you need, not just a new leader, you'll need new players too. Yes, so it's a whole different group. You know, it's amazing how long he was here. What, 2007, 2008? There is nobody back. Mathias Kiwanuka was the last one. He's not back. So there is nobody back from those years. And, you know, I think it's a little bit of a rebuilding job on defense. You know, they're much more of an offensive stronghold team now than they are in defense.
All right. What about sort of the state of this football team right now? Obviously, the record has not been what the Giants want. 2 years ago, there were statements about, you know, improvement. Last year went backwards. pretty convinced that this is sort of a make-or-break year for a lot of people?
Well, you look at it, the Giants are picking ninth in the draft, right? You don't want to be ninth, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be in the 20s. You want to be in the 30s, right?
Yep.
You know from your, you know, you want to be 31, you want to be 32. Make-or-break year, well, we asked John Mara about that after the season, after a 6-10 season. He said, well, you could say that, so I don't have to say it. The guy in charge has already said it.
All right, from what you're hearing, as far as some of the guys that the Giants are interested in with this ninth overall pick and sort of overall needs that they're looking to get accomplished in this draft.
Well, I think some years the perfect blend of need and talent is right there. I'm sure you will like this pick. I think the Iowa guard tackle, Sheriff, is the perfect player at the perfect time for this team. You put him on the field, you put him at left guard, you become a nastier, bigger, stronger. All of a sudden, Andre Williams and Jennings and Vereen are better running backs. I think that's what they need. I think hopefully if he's there for the Giants, he's a perfect pick.
I think the biggest thing that he brings is he brings an attitude of just tenacity, just getting after people, finishing blocks. But the other biggest thing he brings that the offensive line needs is competition. He brings competition where you have Justin Pugh and you've got Jeff Schwartz and John Jerry, everybody in the mix fighting for the jobs to get on the football field. It's going to make him a better group and it's going to make him a better offense.
Well, I think the competition aspect of it is spot on because there wasn't a lot of competition.
Nope.
And I often use the word scholarship because guys kind of coasted through because there was no one behind them. There was no depth and there was no threat of losing a job.
And how much better were your lines because you had competition, because you could play so many different positions that people said, well, if I'm not on my game, he's going to take my spot here. It's you need more talent and you need – first, I think the guy's going to come in and start right away. But if he's on the team. But they need – they have four positions kind of filled on that offensive line. They need that fifth guy, and then I think you have a complete unit.
All right. Throughout the course of the show, we're going to take phone calls from our fans at 201-939-4513 or via Twitter at Giants. Send us a hashtag and a question. And, Paul, we've got one for you and for Carl and for David Deal on the phone line right now. All the way from Seattle is Reshi. Reshi, welcome to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. We can't hear you. What? Do we have Reshi still on the line?
Colin Kaepernick, athletic ability.
We're not.
We're listening.
He's watching the draft right now. Marcus Mariota was just selected by Tennessee, although from some of the things that you're hearing, he might be a Tennessee Titan for a short time, that Philadelphia is still trying to work something out to move up. All right, so, Paul, obviously tonight's a big night, but it's only one night. This is a 7-round draft. When you take a look at this Giant football team, what are some of the things that you think they want to zero in as far as players that they want to bring in?
Well, I would think they need a safety somewhere in this draft, and probably not on the third day, probably on the second day, because there's a spot there. You know, Stevie Brown signed with the Texans. Antro Rolls with the Bears. Quinton Demps is unsigned. You know, you have some young, maybe promising players on this roster, but you got to have somebody who's a talented guy. So I think you need a safety and you need a pass rusher. And that's why, you know, if the offensive lineman's not there, if there's a big-time pass rusher sitting there at 9 or in the second round, you need a pass rusher. As you mentioned with Spagnuolo, you need some guys who can go get the quarterback. He can't do it just by out-scheming everybody.
Carl, what do you think about the safety situation? It was not a deep market as far as free agency was concerned, and according to all reports, it's not the deepest draft as far as safeties are concerned. Do you think there's still a veteran guy that can be picked up along the way? How do the Giants fill those needs?
Well, you've got Berhe, who's got the height, the size, the speed, the weight, and then you've got, when the Giants draft players, they're not to just put them on the bench and, like I said, give them scholarships. Everyone has to compete in order for a defense to get better, and there's always a guy that steps up, like a Stevie Brown, who you didn't think would be as good as he was when he was really good. So guys are going to have to compete. And, yes, a veteran is out there somewhere, or there's a free agent or low-round draft choice in this draft that will come in and start for this team.
All right, I mentioned we're going to take your phone calls. We're also taking questions via Twitter, at Giants. And I got a question for Paul and the rest of our panel. On offense, O-line obviously is something that we've talked about. What do you think the Giants will do with the tight end position?
Last year at this time, we thought they would draft a tight end, and they didn't. Well, I think they have Larry Donnell, who developed you know, pretty nicely as a pass catcher last year. He needs some work on his blocking. You have Daniel Fells, who's a solid player, I think. So you have two of the three elements are there. They'll probably pick up somebody else. You know, I think they probably need a good blocker. They need someone who can really block to help the running game.
They all get better when the other five guys inside of them are blocking better, too, because it becomes now your defensive end just can't tee off on your tight end because you have a lot of combo blocks and you can run the ball outside. But when you're at the bottom of the league running the football, that means you're not good anywhere.
All right. Paul, we appreciate the time this evening.
Anytime.
You can read him in the New York Post, follow him on Twitter. We appreciate it. An exciting night.
Thank you. Anytime.
That's Paul Schwartz from the New York Post joining us here on the program. Again, if you want to get in on the conversation, 201-939-4513. On Twitter, at Giants, hashtag Giants Draft. Now, still to come on the program, we're going to break down the Giants by position. We're also going to look back at the 2014 draft and the impact it had on the Giants. When the Giants do make their pick, we will have the Giants selection on via Skype right here on the program. Plus, we'll hear from Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and Mark Ross. All that and much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon here on MSG.
The New York Giants select.
Heart's beating 1,000 beats per minute.
Something I remember for a lifetime.
It's going to be a great feeling. I can't wait to run out there.
You're here to represent.
I love my team, man. Thank you, Jonathan Johnson.
The draft comes, and, you know, first round, I knew I wasn't going to go the first round. You know, second and third round, maybe, but probably not. And then, you know, the fourth round started, and that's when things started to get stressful because you see other guys going that play your position to other teams, and you're frustrated because, you want an opportunity, and every minute feels like an hour. Every hour feels like a day. It was fifth round, and I was looking at the teams that were coming up, and I was like, you know, the Giants have a pick, and they actually had two picks in the fifth round, and I was hoping they were going to grab me in the with their first pick. So, you know, that came up, and they chose Nat. I'm sitting there really stressing at this point, and next thing I know, you know, my phone rings, and it's a New York number or New Jersey number, and I'm like, oh, crap. So I'm answering the phone, and all my family and everyone's kind of around. I answer the phone, and, you know, it's Coach Coughlin and you know, the coaching staff and telling me, you know, they're picking me up. And the next thing I know, it's on the TV, and everybody erupts. And from there, it just felt like a flash. Like, everything just went. Next thing I know, we're at the mall, and everybody's buying Giants gear. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm a New York Giant. Like going crazy. And so the very next day, I'm, like, packing a bag. And I'm out in New Jersey for the next 6 weeks, like, going into the whole process. So it was literally, like, life-changing. The most stressful day and turned out into, you know, the best day and one of my, you know, most proud and, you know, best days of my life.
The New York Giants select.
Heart's beating 1,000 beats per minute.
Something I remember for a lifetime.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. The third pick in the draft has been selected by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they take Florida defensive end Dante Fowler. So it's Jameis Winston, number one. He goes to Tampa. Marcus Mariota, at least for now, goes number two to Tennessee. And Dante Fowler taken by the Jacksonville Jaguars with the third overall pick. Giants have the ninth pick as we continue our look at the Giants. And that's an updated draft board for you. And, you know, we want to keep it interactive with the Giants fans. Those of you watching on the Giants mobile app, those of you watching here on MSG, following on Giants.com. So a lot of ways to reach us. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. On Twitter, at Giants, hashtag Giants Draft. We've got a phone call for Carl Banks and David Deal, and it's Vince in Pennsylvania. Vince, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I'm a little anxious, so I got to get off the subject a little, but just as fun as diehard Giants fan wait for his draft pick, it's just as fun as watch, like, the Eagles kind of do crazy stuff, and I think it's hilarious, and I want to know what you guys think. I know that they picked Mariota at the Titans, but this still trade could still happen.
Oh, sure.
If it does, with all these guys that they have popped in there and all these picks, who are they really going to have? They got rid of Macklin. I don't know why they got rid of McCoy, but okay, they got DeMarco Murray, but they got rid of Foles. You have Bradford, he isn't healed. And who are they going to have? Are they going to be just hilarious and we're going to kill them all the time? That'd be great.
Well, I think as a Giant fan, you shouldn't care. The more they lose, the better it is for you. They're gonna field the team. They are best in class in the division, so you're going to have to contend with them, and they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out, but the more good players they lose, the better you should feel as a Giant fan.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money on Byron Maxwell. Yeah. Kerry Williams, I thought, was a comparable player. Obviously, they brought in DeMarco Murray. You team him up with a guy like Darren Sproles. They've added Ryan Matthews. But, David, I mean, when you look at it from a Giants perspective, as Vince is looking at it, this is all on paper. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're losing a lot of talented guys, but the guys that Chip Kelly is bringing in are guys that he wants, that he feels fit with his system.
And that's the thing right now. We've all seen he's in control. Chip Kelly is doing what he wants to do right now in the building. And that's what still brings the possibility of a draft and a pick and trading for Mariota, because let's face it, Marcus Mariota going into the NFL right now, his best fit where he can play the best and maximize his potential right now is in Philadelphia. Everywhere else, he has still got to learn the three-step, the five-step, the seven-step drops that any offensive lineman and any offense needs.
Well, Dave, guess what? You've been a champion here.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles have seen a championship since you played, since I played. And if the Giants want to get to another Super Bowl, they'll handle their business. You can't have rabbit ears in this business. How someone else builds their team is how they build it. How you build your team and how you operate is what builds your championships in-house. So you worry about your own and let them worry about theirs. Be the best you can be.
All right, that leads us to item number four, and that is the Giants' defense, and especially their defensive front, defensive line, and linebackers. We take a look at the depth chart for the Giants' defensive ends. Jason Pierre-Paul under the franchise tag. Saw a lot of good things out of Robert Ayers during the season before he got hurt. You wonder if DeMontre Moore can ever develop the kind of consistency. But, guys, let's talk about Jason Pierre-Paul. The sack numbers were there, but, Carl, the question is, in the critical games, the sack numbers weren't there.
Well, there's not a lot of help there either, Bob. And I think what this defense has right now is a sign hanging in the window saying, help wanted. And they've got to get contributions a lot of areas because, look, they were 23rd against a rush, and they've got to be a lot better against the pass. They give up a ton of yards. So you're looking at sack numbers, and, you can pick your spots if you're Jason Pierre-Paul, but a good defensive line, when you look at the Buffalo Bills and a lot of other good defensive line, they get contributions across the board.
And the thing for me that, don't get me wrong, it was great to see the sack production at the end of the season, but I feel that number's skewed very much so.
Oh, you circle
because
your
you're going
spots,
up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are the youngest offensive line in the NFL. You're going up against the Tennessee Titans, who were beat up. You were going up against the St. Louis Rams, who were ravaged on the offensive line. You need somebody on that defensive line that will take away the slide protections, the chip help to Jason Pierre-Paul, so that you even it out, that an offensive line can't pick, okay, we're going right to number 90, we're going to slide a protection, and we don't have to worry about anybody else.
And one of the glaring memories from the 2014 season was Tony Romo having like 8 seconds to throw the game-winning touchdown pass at MetLife Stadium. All right, let's take a look at the linebacking core for the New York Giants as part of this defensive line. And, this is an area that, we've talked again about it. John Beeson is a guy that the Giants are hoping can come back. Jameel McClain is a player that's coming back. So, you take a look at the Giant linebackers, Carl, and, they added some pieces to the puzzle with some of the free agent signings that they had, but Beeson is really the kingpin to all this. But you like what you saw to Devon Kennard.
Devon Kennard is the future of this linebacking core. He knows the game. He understands it. He plays it smart, but he's got linebacker toughness. He is what a healthy John Beeson is to this defense. If you get Beeson back, you get Kennard back, but they've got to get bigger contributions from that position too. Again, you are at the bottom of the league in stopping the rush, 30th. You give up 135 yards a game. They tell you it's a passing league. Well, teams didn't seem to want to get to the pass because they could run it so much.
All right, let's go to item number 5, and let's put that up on the board as we continue with Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. Item number 5 is the Giants' secondary. And we take a look at the safety position. And this is, we talked about this earlier, with no Antrell Roll being there, you've got Nat Burhe, who played mostly on special teams. Cooper Taylor showed some things during training camp, but he was lost for the year. Bennett Jackson was the guy that was hurt. All right, guys, the secondary. Mm-hmm. You know that Prince Amukamara was hurt. You know Antrell Roll is gone. They gave up so many big plays last year, Carl. That is an area that has to get fixed.
Well, this defense has to get fixed. And if you're Steve Spagnuolo and you're the personnel people at upstairs getting ready for this draft, you're Home Depot workers. You are playing Mr. Fix-It because there are a lot of holes, a lot of broken coverages. Get the guys going because your corners can be good if your safeties are good, if your linebackers are good, if your defensive line is good. They got a lot going on.
All right, let's take a look at the cornerback depth chart for the New York Giants. And obviously the big acquisition last year was Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. Obviously Prince Amukamara, they need him to come back from injury. Tremaine McBride played well for the Giants before he got hurt. I mean, there's still room for improvement here, David.
There most certainly is, and that's where I think it's going to be interesting what we see, what happens at nine. If Brandon Scherff's not available, this is where that possibility of if at number nine, Trey Waynes is available, that you have Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, you have Trey Waynes on the opposite side, and you're going to have them there for a long time because Prince Amukamara is on the last year of his contract as well.
All right, so we just continue here with Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live. Now, let me update you here on the draft. Told you, Jameis Winston, number one, Marcus Mariota, number two to Tennessee. Dante Fowler went third to the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of the players that I know Giants fans were very interested in, wide receiver Amari Cooper, he goes fourth overall to the Oakland Raiders. So he is off the board. The Giants have the ninth overall pick. Telephone number is 201-939-4513. Send us a question via Twitter. At Giants, hashtag Giants Draft. You got the numbers, everything else. We've looked at the defense. When we come back, we'll look at the other side of the ball. Eli Manning and the Giants offense as we continue with Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon, the draft in the Windy City of Chicago. And we are now through the first five picks of the draft. And again, Jameis Winston one to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Marcus Mariota goes number two to Tennessee. Dante Fowler goes three to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Amari Cooper, the wide receiver, goes four to the Oakland Raiders. And Brandon Scherff, the offensive lineman, who many thought would wind up with the New York Giants at number nine, has been taken fifth overall by the Washington Redskins. The Jets are on the clock with number six. The Giants have the ninth overall pick. So we move to the offensive side of the ball. We put item number six up on the board. Skill position players for the New York Giants and some of the areas in which the New York Giants in 2014 were productive was moving the football. I mean, considering the injuries and the problems that they had on the offensive line, they wound up 13th in the league in points per game. They wound up putting up yards, and they wound up being able to move the football. The problem that the Giants had, once again, was the run game. As we look at, you know, the Giants and the skill position guys here, and although the numbers are what they are, don't let them deceive you. There are issues that have to be worked out offensively.
Well, yeah, and Dave will tell you that the better you run the ball, the better your play action, and the more tools you'll have available as a quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. In this offense, if you can run the ball effectively, Eli Manning does such a terrific job of showing the fake and the run, being able to make those shots and those hits downfield. That's going to be the biggest thing. And I think Shane Vereen is a huge addition to this offense. He had 52 catches last year. And if you want to slow down the pass rush, the biggest thing you can do is screen him. And the Giants have not been very good at screening and haven't had a back that was good at screening since Derek Ward and Tiki Barber.
Absolutely right.
Carl, I mean, Vereen was a monster in the Super Bowl. That's kind of the way they stayed on rhythm offensively, was just dumping it off to him.
Yeah, when you have a rhythm offense, which this offense is now, a guy like him, he can run the ball on third downs. He can also catch it on third downs. So if you read blitz, all of a sudden Vereen is a threat to a linebacker in coverage. Or if you don't read blitz, he can run the ball against your your nickel defense and dime defense.
All right. Now let's focus in with item number 7 and put that up on the board and take a look at the New York Giants and the offensive line for this football team. And obviously, you take a look at the depth chart at the tackle position. You know, Will Beatty is at the left tackle. Does Justin Pugh stay at the right tackle? David, I mean, what are some of the areas that you feel need to focus in on with this O-line?
I would definitely talk about a tackle. We just saw Brandon Scherff get drafted by the Washington Redskins. This is where Eric Flowers can come into play. We're talking about somebody who they say can play right tackle, but also has the potential to move to left tackle. That was the difference of Eric Flowers compared to the other prospects coming in, of his ability to move to left tackle, which gives him the versatility, which you know the New York Giants love, you know that Pat Flaherty loves. And then down the road, once again, what are we creating? Competition, either at right tackle or against Will Beatty at the left tackle position.
What are some of the weaknesses in Flowers' game or things that he has to improve upon when he gets to the next level?
The biggest thing that I saw that he needs to improve on is his hands. As an offensive tackle in the NFL, you have got to be able to punch. You have got to be able to redirect. But the biggest thing is you have got to be able to get your hands outside and inside the framework when you're going up against premier pass rushers, because you may get away with it in college, but when you get to the pros, they're looking for it every single time, and it always comes on the big plays. You have a big play stretch downfield, it's coming back from a holding call, and it's all because of not punching and grabbing and getting people on the outside.
All right, we try to keep it interactive with the fans, and we have a question that comes to us via Twitter, at CV401 asked the question, considering the depth at O-line, any chance we get two quality guys in this draft, going deeper into the draft?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we shall see as the draft goes along. But the biggest thing that I like that the Giants are doing now with the offensive line, competition.
Yep.
John Jerry last year was one of the guys that people doubted. At the end of the season, he was the Giants' best interior offensive lineman, bar none. So now you have Newhouse coming in to compete at the tackle position, but not only have that, but have depth at the position. And I think once you shore up the inside of the pocket, move Weston Richburg back to his natural position of center, that allows Eli to set up, have his feet planted, and step into throws. Because we all have seen that quarterbacks that can't step up, out of balance, or all out of whack with their feet, what does it lead to? It leads to turnovers.
Interception. And here's the other thing, too. Let's not discount the free agent market. A lot of these kids in this draft, the big guys always get a look after the draft. So there could be a parade of elephants once minicamp starts and training camp starts.
All right. A lot of excitement with the Giants selecting 9th overall. Obviously, the Giants want to get things rolling and get that pick in. You know, Amari Cooper off the board, Brandon Scherff off the board. Telephone number is 201-939-4513 if you want to join the conversation via the phone line. You can hit us up on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Draft. A lot going on here. Amari Cooper went 4th overall to the Raiders. Brandon Scherff went 5th overall to the Washington Redskins. The Jets are on the clock right now. Their pick is in. It has not been announced yet. So a lot of excitement going on here on Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. We keep working our way towards the Giants pick, which is 9th overall. Who will it be? How will the Giants get their 2015 season started with their first draft pick of the year? We're closing in on it. Much more to come after this.
First and 10 Giants at the Dallas 43. Left hash mark, right to left on your radio. Offset eye left, Manning on a play fake. Rolls right, throws a deep ball down the right sideline. It's a jump ball. Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous. Wow. He was literally parallel to the ground when he pulled that in.
That is a difference maker, folks. 43 yards on the touchdown pass, Manning to Odell Beckham Jr.
One of the great plays of the 2014 NFL season, not just for the Giants, for the entire NFL, Odell Beckham Jr. Let's just update you on the draft board as the Jets have made their selection at number 6, and they wind up taking Leonard Williams. So here it is. Jameis Winston goes number 1 to Tampa. Marcus Mariota winds up going to the Tennessee Titans. Dante Fowler, the defensive end, goes 3rd to Jacksonville. Amari Cooper, the talented wide receiver from Alabama, goes 4th to the Oakland Raiders. nice weapon for Derek Carr. Brandon Scherff, a lot of people thought he would wind up with the Giants at 9. The Redskins take him at 5. And the Jets keep adding to their defensive front as they select Leonard Williams out of USC with the 6th overall pick. The Chicago Bears now on the clock. And a lot of people feel that Leonard Williams was the best player in this draft, and he winds up going 6th, and he goes to the Jets. All right, we're looking at the draft. You saw the play from Odell Beckham Jr. Item number 8 goes up on the board. We take a look back at the 2014 draft for the New York Giants, and Odell Beckham Jr., 91 catches, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns, set all kinds of rookie records, did things that wide receivers haven't done since 1960. 9 consecutive games of 90 or more yards, which ties the NFL record set by Michael Irvin. He didn't just set rookie records. He is setting and tying records for receivers in the NFL. So obviously, guys, a difference maker, Odell Beckham Jr. What does he have to do adjustment-wise for year number 2?
Well, he's going to be a matchup problem because of his ability. He's great athletics, great hands, good route running. He's a freak. But it's going to take other guys to allow him to continue to get that single coverage.
Not to mention, he's not going to be a surprise anymore.
Yeah.
People know who Odell Beckham Jr. is, and they're going to come, and they're going to challenge him, and they're going to have him come each and every game with his A game. So you know that he's going to have to come in motivated and push himself even harder because the demands on him to perform.
They say that about Michael Strahan. They knew he was coming every game, too, but they got exactly what they expected.
But the other guy you played with.
Lawrence Taylor.
They kind of knew he was coming.
And who's coming, too. Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we talked about Devon Kennard earlier. We talked a little bit about the Giants running game, Andre Williams. David, I want to ask you about Weston Richburg as part of that 2014 class and what he was able to accomplish as the Chicago Bears, by the way, with the 7th overall pick. Remember, they got rid of Brandon Marshall. They selected Kevin White, the wide receiver out of West Virginia. But talk about Weston Richburg, what he showed as a rookie and what you expect from him in year 2.
The thing that he showed was he really learned to polish up his technique, his footwork, his combination blocks, being able to sink his hips and work on him, especially when he was a center in college and he was playing guard. I think the biggest thing that for him this year is moving him back to his natural position and get him back to center. You could tell that he understands and has knowledge of the offense now. He's going to be more confident. And the biggest thing now is get the piece next to him. Get somebody to surround him, somebody, a veteran, that is going to be able to, he's going to be able to lean on. And if he needs a call, if he needs something, that guard next to him is going to be able to help him out.
All right, let's continue with the phone calls, and we go to Rochester, New York. Welcome to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon.
Good evening, gentlemen. My question is, since the Giants normally don't pick in the top 10, thankfully, will there be a chance they take Todd Gurley is a generational running back to bring the safeties into the box to let Beckham and Cruz and Randall play. And I know, Mr. Deal, I'm sorry, but this offensive lineman draft is deep, especially in the guard position. Do you think they'll go that route?
You know, you got a rookie running back in Andre Williams who showed a lot of promise, physical guy. You have Rashard Jennings, smart, versatile guy. I don't know if you can have too many running backs, but you can have too many running backs when you don't have a good offensive line. So I don't know if it's a necessity, if he's a once-in-a-generation guy, which we don't know because he's coming off a knee injury. I'm not so sure I would take that pick when there's a few more areas of need you can fix.
I would much rather go to the offensive line or the defensive line.
Sure.
We know the defense needs to stop the run, and Eli Manning needs to be protected, and holes need to be opened up for the three running backs on the roster.
Priority number one.
Yeah.
Protect the quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Rashad Jennings brings versatility, and, you know, he's coming off his injury. And then the Giants signed Shane Vereen. Yeah. As a free agent who, again, is a versatile player that can run, catch it out of the backfield, it feels to me like in this offense with Ben McAdoo that, you know, the Joe Morris type where you're going to pound the rock 28 times a game isn't necessary because you've got Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz and all that stuff. I don't see Gurley in this spot for the
Andre
Giants.
Andre Williams is a guy who's gone for 2,000 yards in major Division I football, so if you need to pound it out and grind it out in the last 5 minutes of a game, if the pieces are in place on your offensive line, He's a guy that can do that.
I mean, let's just look at the recipe. Eddie Lacy, where did our offensive coordinator come? Ben McAdoo.
Yeah.
He came from a system that has an unbelievable quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, but when they needed to control it in four-minute situations, when they knew in games that they needed to control the line of scrimmage and just take it over, they leaned on the offensive line, they leaned on the running backs, and that's how they won.
But you still don't think the Giants are going to take a running back with, with Gurley in this spot? Probably offensive line?
I would say offensive line or defensive line.
Atlanta Falcons are on the clock right now. They've got just over 2 minutes to make their pick. Then the Giants will be on the clock if they stay in that ninth spot. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the NFC East. We'll continue with your phone calls at 201-939-4513 on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Draft. As we continue with Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. The Giants are now on the clock. The Atlanta Falcons selection has been made at 8th. Has not been announced yet by the commissioner, but the Falcons have made their pick, so that puts the New York Giants on the clock. First, we're going to wait and see who the Atlanta Falcons take, and then we can start kicking around who the New York Giants might take. I would think that the Atlanta Falcons are going to go defensive side.
They may have gone Gurley.
They could have.
Vic Beasley Jr.
So there's a lot of options for the Atlanta Falcons. They need help in a lot of different places.
Yeah, they do.
But especially on the defensive side of the ball. Last year they went with Matthews trying to solidify their offensive line. So we're going to wait and see who the commissioner announces as the Atlanta Falcons' eighth pick. But now that leads us into a little speculation here as far as what's going to happen with the New York Giants and who they select at number 9. Carl's got his big book. You know what?
Big book, fine print.
Big book, fine print, because there's a lot of players to choose from here. And, guys, it's interesting because you wonder if the Giants, maybe with some of the guys that are off the board, now that they're on the clock, you wonder if maybe one of the players that they have targeted in this range, potentially the value that they have on him is back. Maybe they're entertaining a possible trade with someone that might want to move up for somebody.
Or let's think about how this draft got shuffled a bit by guys who had some off-field issues right before the draft. Are those guys worthy of the pick at number 9?
Yeah, so we're going to find out who the Atlanta Falcons select, and that's going to kind of set the stage here for the New York Giants. The pick has already been in by the Falcons. TV was in a commercial, and it's Vic Beasley, who just lit it up at the combine.
Yeah.
And is one of these guys that can get after the quarterback. He's a linebacker. He's got a lot of speed. So that's another guy off the board that potentially the Giants could have drafted.
Yeah. Well, when you're at 9, there are a lot of guys, there are a lot of options available to you.
You know, and the other thing you can't forget about all this, with Vic Beasley winding up going with the Atlanta Falcons, and we take a look at Vic Beasley in action, and he's got a tremendous motor, did all these wonderful things at the combine. But, guys, it's also, you know, when you look at the draft, unless you have the number 1 overall pick, which you don't want to have, there's an element of luck. And there's an element of circumstances that come into play, because if you think about it, Shane Ray was a player that was supposed to go inside the top 7 or 8.
Yep.
Randy Gregory, another player that was supposedly a top 10 guy. Both of those guys have had issues, obviously, off the field, including Ray earlier this week, getting pulled over for speeding at 5:45 in the morning just outside of Columbia, Missouri, you know, with 35 grams of marijuana in the car. So he's plummeting down the board. So had those guys gone earlier, some of the players that have already been selected might have been able to fall to the Giants. Let's take a look at the draft right now and set it up for you. And here's what the board looks like as the Giants are on the clock. Take a look at the last couple picks. Brandon Scherff, many people thought he would wind up a Giant. He goes 5th to the Washington Redskins, who need all kinds of help on their offensive line. It's tough to believe that Leonard Williams lasted until the 6th overall pick out of USC. He winds up going to the Jets. Kevin White, speedy wide receiver out of West Virginia, he goes 7th to the Chicago Bears. And Vic Beasley, the linebacker out of Clemson, goes 8th overall to the Atlanta Falcons. So that puts the New York Giants on the clock. All right, David, we are now at crunch time here. And according to what we're seeing, the Giants pick has been submitted. Has not been announced yet by the commissioner, but it's going to be pretty interesting to see who the Giants select. The pick is in. We're waiting for the commissioner. Little different vibe this year with it being in Chicago as opposed to all the Giants fans and Jets fans that have always been at the draft and getting pretty loud. Guys, you got a quick guess who you think it might be before the commissioner actually makes the announcement?
I'm going to go Danny Shelton, defensive tackle.
Danny Shelton.
Wow,
the
curve ball.
The offensive lineman goes away from the O-line. After you sold me on Flowers before?
I know. I'm going to throw the curve ball. I'm going to go Danny Shelton.
I am inclined to think the same thing. I think they'll go defense.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the Giants do. Obviously, defense is an area of need. We showed you some of the graphics before. We showed you some of the numbers from last year.
It could be Shane Ray. You never know. If they've done enough due diligence between now and his incident and then prior to that, if it's a blip, maybe they look at it.
I think more than anything with Shane Ray is they're still talking about this toe that he hurt in the bowl game. Okay. They're saying that he still may need surgery. I mean, that's right now we're at draft time. This isn't like we're in the pro days. Yeah. This isn't before. This is the draft. You have to be fully ready, healed, ready to go. And if somebody's going to take a chance on you, they want you in rookie minicamp. They want you working right now.
And the other thing you have to remember, too, is the Giants over the last 2 years have gravitated toward four-year players, team captains.
Yeah.
Guys that are pretty clean, and not so many guys that, you know, with upside, but, you know, projected talent as opposed to guys that can contribute right away. And I've got to think that that's kind of the way they're going.
Well, they need a right away guy for about three or four right away guys in this draft.
Well, they only have one. The pick is in. We're waiting for Commissioner Roger Goodell to make the announcement who the Giants select in Chicago. But the Giants with the 9th overall pick have made their pick, and we're just kind of waiting right now for the commissioner to make the announcement. Will it be Flowers? Deal does a complete reverse on me. After selling me on Flowers, he's throwing Shelton at me on the defensive side of the ball. Carl, you've made compelling arguments as to why it should be defense because of the problems the Giants had stopping other teams last year.
Have you ever walked into a Home Depot and didn't have a ton of choices? That means you got a lot of stuff to fix. And so they have a lot of options available to them, and I think they can pick any position of need and not really be off base.
All right, let's put number 9 up on the board because number 9 here on our Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon, number 9 is the Giants selection. The pick is in, and let's find out what Commissioner Roger Goodell will announce. Will it be Flowers? Will it be offensive line? Linebacker, is it going to be on the defensive side of the ball? A lot of options, and let's find out who the Giants have selected as the commissioner is at the podium right now. And it is Flowers. Eric Flowers, the big 6'6", 329-pound offensive lineman from the University of Miami. That is the Giants selection. David, let's talk about him, all right? Let's get more in-depth as to the pros and the cons of Eric Flowers.
I mean, he has the size and the strength of what you want in an offensive lineman. Can get up and move people at the point of the attack. Is aggressive off of the line of scrimmage. Sometimes that is a little too much and his footwork gets a little out of whack. The things that he does do is he just mauls people. He gets after people. Needs to still work on his hands, blitz recognition, but that's something that Pat Flaherty and this offensive line is going to go through. I think he can thrive in Ben McAdoo's system as well.
Carl, obviously, you take a look at the offensive line. You want to protect Eli Manning. He's getting a little bit older. You can't throw the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. if the quarterback's on his back. And the running game, really, you know, when they needed to get a yard last year, they didn't get the yard. Now they got a guy who should be able to help them get the yard.
Well, they've got maulers. And here's the thing about it. The Giants are not long developing play offense. They need to make contact, sustain it, backs hit holes. It's not the counter and the second level type of blocking schemes in this McAdoo offense.
So Eric Flowers, Jr., University of Miami, selected by the New York Giants with the 9th overall pick. So they go offensive line and, you know, trying to really create balance on the offense and run the football. All right, we saw the highlights of him, David, at left tackle. Obviously, that's Will Beatty's job right now.
It's competition right now.
Yeah. But if he competes and shows that he can play, what happens with Justin Pugh? Does he get moved to the right side? Because Beatty He's not a right side guy.
No, Flowers is a tackle. He's not an inside guy. And he's drafted right now, and it looks like Justin Pugh will be moving to left guard and that he will be plugged in right now at right tackle. I still think that he needs some development to move out to the left tackle position in the pros. But that's where him coming in right now, getting the competition, getting the experience, learning this offense, it's leaps and bounds from your first year to your second year based on the experience and the comfortable in the system.
Can he play right tackle?
Yes, he can.
And that's easy. So now you put him and Pugh together.
Yep.
Beattie stays out there, and you've got some issues solved. And Weston Richburg back at center. Mm-hmm. Guys are playing their comfortable natural positions.
And there's still competition between Jeff Schwartz and John Jerry.
Yep.
So we take a look at the offensive tackle depth chart, and you see Will Beattie and Justin Pugh. Now, remember when Pugh was drafted in the first round, one of the things that the Giants were sold on was his versatility, that he could play tackle or guard. He's had a chance to do both. Obviously, if Flowers proves that he's pro-ready, he's not a tackle or guard.
No,
he's
he
a tackle.
He has to be pro-ready.
Yeah, that's a good point. So now it's going to be interesting to see, David, how this all shuffles up. The big question, too, is when you take a look at the guards for the New York Giants and you take a look at the interior linemen for the Giants, the question begs to be answered, Jeff Schwartz. And where does he line up? Remember, last year, the Giants used him at the left guard spot, but he played most of his career on the right side. So where do they wind up putting a guy like Jeff Schwartz? How does he fit into this whole mix?
Well, that's a great thing. Is now he's got to fit by earning his way
field. You're absolutely
right. That's the greatest thing about right now bringing in a tackle. You've got a conglomerate of people inside that the way that you're going to see the field is by performing and by earning your position.
Can you
that's
say that
how he gets back
again?
From the
competition,
field.
Was that the word?
Yes.
That's what you need. When you got no more scholarships now. You're not guaranteed your position. You've got to go earn it now because they put legitimate competition in training camp, and now you can't nurse your injuries.
Yep.
You can't say, well, I'll be ready when week one comes. You got to earn it now.
All right, so we've got a lot to come here on the program because you're going to hear from Eric Flowers, who the Giants selected with the 9th overall pick. We're going to be joined in studio by the head coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin, senior VP and general manager Jerry Reese is going to join us, and Mark Ross, who is the VP of player evaluation, all will join us here on the program. The Giants have selected Eric Flowers, offensive tackle out of the University of Miami, as we continue with Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. The 2015 NFL Draft in full swing, and Eric Flowers, offensive lineman from the University of Miami, selected by the Giants with the 9th overall pick. We're going to hear from Senior VP and General Manager Jerry Reese. He's going to join us live on set. We'll hear from VP of Player Evaluation Mark Ross. He'll join us as well. As Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. All right, Carl, so you thought about it a little bit more.
Yep.
There was defense to be had, defensive players to be had. Obviously, some of the guys that the Giants thought might be there, not there, maybe because of some of the transgressions off the field from Gregory and Shane Ray. Maybe the board didn't fall the right way, but Giants going to get that running game fixed.
Well, they're getting their health of their quarterback secured as well, because you've created the operative word competition.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, we're going to be joined in studio live by Giants head coach Tom Coughlin as we continue with Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Eric Flowers, offensive lineman from the University of Miami, selected with the 9th overall pick by the New York Giants. And joining us in studio, the head coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin. Coach, congratulations on the selection.
Thank you, Bob.
What is it about the young man as a player that you really liked?
He's an aircraft carrier. 6'6 and a half, 329, strongest guy in the draft, just real young man, just turned 21. few days ago. Outstanding feat. Plays on the left side, plays on the right side, wherever. Very, very good football player and a young guy we're really excited about having here.
Coach, David said the biggest thing you can have on an offensive line is competition. That means you got a lot of choices and a lot of things you can move around. Does he give you that added? And obviously, you're not running the ball very well last year, so it's a need.
That's right.
So when you have competition there, does that push everyone to get better?
It certainly does. It pushes everyone to get better. It also makes for a real nice room. This kid will come in. He'll be a good part of that offensive line room. He's a tough guy. He's a young guy. He's kind of a little on the quiet side. He'll learn, I think, real fast and be very, very productive for a long time.
I think the thing that I think we'd all like to see is, you know, he has the potential. He's been right tackle. He's been left tackle. Right. How do we see this now fitting right now into the Giants offensive
line? Well, we'll worry about that when we get him in here. And, you know, we'll get together and talk about how that goes. Lots of conjecture about how we're going to do that. But you don't draft a guy at number 9 not to be a factor. And so that will be the starting point. To make it highly competitive, to Carl's point, and then to let the best people emerge. But that young man is very talented.
Now, you've had the opportunity when David was playing to have guys that were utility players. Now, do you have a luxury with Rich Burke having played multiple positions, this young man having played multiple positions, Justin Pugh capable of playing multiple positions?
Schwartz plays multiple positions. We do have a lot of people that have played in different spots, and that's a good thing. But to solidify, as you know, to solidify and develop the bond that goes with that 5 guys is really what you're after, and that's a good starting point for us.
Coach, obviously, getting Rashad Jennings back from injury. You add Shane Vereen, who's a versatile back, and then you have Andre Williams going into year number 2. Everyone gets enamored with Odell Beckham Jr. and all the spectacular plays. But you still need to make the hard yard.
You do.
Is that what this is all about, too, in 2015?
Well, it's certainly about balance, again, about the ability to rush the ball. Because last year we pass protected pretty well, but we didn't run the ball the way we feel like we have to in our division in order to be successful. We also, you need to run the football to keep the other guy on the sideline. And so those things all enter into it. But, again, solidifying those 5 guys up front. And again, to your point, having those people that can step in, God forbid a guy misses a game or two, that's very important as well. But to get that group up front and to have them know exactly what we want and then to put them through the rigors of a preseason and come out the way we want to be a better, more productive offensive line, that's what we're after.
Coach, we appreciate a couple minutes. Obviously, this is just one of numerous picks that you're going to be making throughout the course of the weekend, but congratulations on the pick.
Thank you.
All right, that's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin joining us, talking about Ereck Flowers, who the Giants selected with the 9th overall pick. Jerry Reese joins us on set next as we continue with Giants 1st and 10. Draft Night Live presented by Verizon here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants 1st and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon with the 9th overall selection in the 2015 draft. The Giants select offensive lineman Ereck Flowers out of the University of Miami. We continue with our countdown and item number 10, reaction to the pick. And Senior Vice President and General Manager Jerry Reese now joins us here on the set. And Jerry, what was it about this young man that you liked to make him a New York Giant?
Well, Bob, there's a lot of things we liked about him. You know, first of all, he's big and tough. Big and tough, long arms, young, physical, powerful guy. So there was a lot of things we liked about him. He fit the profile that we like for offensive linemen.
Jerry, being the 9th pick in the draft, that means that there are a lot of things that didn't go well that got you that distinction. Picking that high, is this a potential day one starter? Is that the expectation when you pick a guy that high?
Well, everybody has to earn their spot. David can tell you that, you know, under Coach Coughlin, everybody earns their spot. When you pick a guy with a 9th pick, you expect him to come in and play pretty quickly. So we do think he'll come in and he'll compete pretty quickly for a starting spot. And But again, you, like you said, if you pick nine, you got some problems. And we're trying to fix some problems in our offensive line. So we expect him to come in and really compete for a job right away.
There was a lot of people still available. There was Trey Waynes, the corner was still available. Danny Shelton, the defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. What of all the things you said, you know what, offensive line is the thing, even though those guys are available, we need to shore this up.
Yeah, we've been trying to do that for a couple of years now to shore up our offensive line. And this guy has too much value. Number one, he was the highest guy on our board. So that was an easy pick for us because he was the highest player on our board. We like Waynes, we like Shelton, we like both of those players. They're two really good football players. But there was a combination of need and value. He was the highest guy on our board, so he was a pretty easy pick for us.
Now, we know the job you have is not an exact science. The player has to do his part. But when you look at this scouting report, it says self-starting, confident attitude, doesn't take plays off, active mean streak. Those are contributors that says to you, well, if I do my job, I got a pretty good idea. He'll put his pads on and do his?
Yeah, without question. You know, we did a lot of work on him. Obviously, our scouts saw him. Mark Ross saw him. Chris Mara saw him. And, you know, we saw him at the combine. Then we went to his pro day. Pat Flaherty, our offensive line coach, worked him out. We brought him here for a visit. So we've done a lot of work on him. We just think it's tremendous upside for him. Again, he just turned 21 years old, I think, a couple days ago. Big, tough, all the adjectives you use for him, Carl, he's going to be a terrific player. It's all upside for him.
Jerry, was there any opportunities for you guys to move up in the draft, or potentially were you thinking when some of the guys started coming off the board, did you think maybe you could get this player and move back?
Well, you know, we going into the draft, you know, picking nine, we felt like there were, you know, at least 12 players that we would love to have. And so we didn't feel any pressure to move up because, again, there were some players, the corner, we liked the corner. We liked the defensive tackle that was left there. And there were a couple more players that we liked as well. But, again, Flowers is the highest, so we felt comfortable where we were.
How much work did you guys have to do this week when the news of Ray broke and, you know, everything that happened? And a lot of people projected him to be inside the top 10. Did you guys have to sort of reevaluate how you think it might unfold and who might be in your group when you picked?
Yeah, that came into play a little bit. You know, a couple of situations that happened, you know, as, you know, the week unfolded. And so we had to rethink a couple of things with respect to those situations that happened. But our board really didn't change that much.
Running the football, Jerry. Obviously, that was not an area of strength last year. You get Rashad Jennings back this year. You hope you can have him healthy. Andre Williams is graduating to year number two. He's got a year under his belt. Then you add a guy like Shane Vereen. How important is it for this team to be able to run the ball when people know you want to run the ball?
Well, I think that's paramount. That's part of the, you know, the reason that we're drafting guys like, you know, Eric Flowers. You know, we got to be able to run the ball. We got to be more balanced. Obviously, we can throw the ball. Eli can throw the ball around. He got some nice targets to throw the ball to. But we still have to be able to run the ball when we want to run the ball. So I think that's going to be a key element to our offense that's going to make it a more potent offense as we move forward.
Now, this draft, and then you look at the collection of players that you've drafted prior to this one, is this about the competition now for everyone on the roster? Because, again, you're picking ninth. That means you got some things to fix in a lot of areas. There are some guys that you would like to step up. Will competition from this draft mandate that some of those draft picks now really step into some roles?
Well, always. We want to create as much competition as possible at every position. And I think that only makes your football team better when you can do that. And, again, you know, it's we'll definitely have some competition in the offensive line like a lot of other positions on the team.
This is the first of a series of picks. I mean, the draft doesn't begin and end tonight. You've got tomorrow and you've got obviously Saturday. When you start trying to formulate a plan and you get deeper into it, you always talk about best player available. How do you make that assessment where you want best player available that also kind of matches a need?
Well, you always have that in the back of your mind. We feel like if you take the best player available, you'll make fewer mistakes if you do that. But you always think about in the back of your mind, you know, we need an offensive tackle, we need a defensive tackle, we need a linebacker, we need a corner, we need a safety, we need whatever position that you're looking for. So you try to tie the need and the value together. And a lot of times it can work out for you. And we think it worked out for us so far in this draft with Eric Flowers.
Jerry, Appreciate the time tonight. Best of luck for the rest of the weekend.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Okay.
That is Senior Vice President and General Manager of the New York Giants, Jerry Reese. When we come back, Mark Ross will join us as we continue with Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon after this here on MSG.
All right.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon here on MSG from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center with the ninth overall pick in the 2015 draft. The Giants go offensive line with Eric Flowers out of the University of Miami. Joining us right now here on the program, the Vice President of Player Evaluation for the New York Giants, Mark Ross. And Mark, congratulations on the pick. And tell us what you really liked about him as you started studying this player.
Well, Eric is, he's a man child, really. I mean, this guy is just turned 21 on Saturday. But, he is a nasty, physical player. And that's what jumps out about him when you start watching him and evaluating him. I mean, he plays with a physical edge that you just don't see that often anymore, especially at the college level.
When you went to see him, is that what immediately stood out? Is that mean streak?
Well, the first thing was his size. I mean, you look out on the field, and this guy is the biggest guy on the field. And then that stands out as well, his competitiveness. I mean, this guy's a good athlete for being so big. And he was productive. The production, I mean, he played against the highest level of comp, the Florida States, the Nebraskas, and, he was really productive.
The thing that with any offensive lineman that you love is versatility, being able to move him amongst the offensive line. The great thing about him is he's able to play both tackle positions. Mm-hmm. Just talk about his strengths of being able to be the left tackle in college, but possibly a right tackle in the NFL now as a starter, and then moving over to the left position in due time.
Yeah, well, he started at right tackle as a true freshman, so he did that. He stepped on campus and was a right tackle, and then he's played left tackle the past 2 years. So this is not something foreign to him where we'll bring him here and play either position, and he'll be a fish out of water. He's done it both. And we think he has the intelligence and the smarts and the football savvy to be able to throw him in at any position. Maybe play right this year, left in the future. We don't know. That's up to the coaches. But he definitely has a skill set to do both.
Now, mention it to Jerry. You're picking nine for a reason. That means there are a lot of things that need addressing. This year, as you're evaluating, you're getting closer to the draft, are you saying, or is there any pressure to say, we've got to get guys, and knowing this isn't an exact science, get guys who are capable of starting day one?
Well, it's always pressure. Every pick is pressure, and especially the fans, they want every pick to be, if they don't work out, what the hell's going on? It's supposed to be every pick's a Pro Bowler. But for us, we feel the same way. Every pick is important. Every pick we feel like can come in, help us. This day and age, you want smart, competitive players who love football that you don't have to worry about any problems. You just have to worry about, hey, is this guy good enough to help us win?
The thing that I really love about him is the mean streak that he brings, the attitude, bringing that toughness and that finishing mentality to the offensive line. Just hit on that a little bit, because I've watched film, and he's got the long, stabbing arms to keep guys away. He finishes people. He gets after people. And just talk about bringing that back, that mentality and that attitude of attacking people.
Yeah, I think his physicalness, his nastiness will be infectious for the offensive line and for the whole offense. You can see that on tape. He tries to bury people. He tries to hurt people. They tell you there at Miami that this guy's going to fight somebody. They don't mess with him just because he just wants to prove that he's the meanest, toughest dude around, and don't mess with him. So when we went down there and talking to all their coaches, and they're telling you that, you're getting fired up. That's the stuff they're telling you about this guy.
How do you start strategizing for round number two and then the rest of the draft? There's a lot of picks that are going to happen between now and when you pick again. What are some of the things that you will do tonight once you guys are done with this first round?
Well, really all the work is done. We don't go in there and start. We'll just kind of have a debriefing before we leave. But pretty much all week, this is what we do. We talk about scenarios in the first round. We talk about scenarios in the second, third, fourth. Groups, clusters of guys we think may be available. So once we get on the clock or once we're nearing our pick, we have a general idea of guys we think will be there. There's always curveballs that happen in the draft, but we have a pretty good idea of who we think will be around.
Did anything really throw you guys as to the way it unfolded here in the first round before you guys made your pick? And obviously, the Shane Ray situation from early in the week, we mentioned this with Jerry, had to at least have teams around the league sort of reevaluating what they might do. Was there any big curveball that you saw in those picks before you?
You know, we talk about scenarios that's over and over, different things that happen. Sometimes, you know, I joked the other day, it's like we're having a 2 a.m. conversation at the bar with some of the ridiculous scenarios that we come up with when we talk about things so that we're totally prepared for everything. You know, we come up with scenarios, what if Mariota, Winston, Leonard Williams, and Mari Cooper on the clock when we pick? So we talk about stuff that is just, we make sure that we're totally, totally prepared for every scenario. And the draft is surprising every year. We're always waiting for the curveball, so nothing ever surprises you.
You see good depth in this draft later on in the draft, obviously, as far as, you know, secondary, but defensive side of the ball, which is an area we've talked about that has to get improved here.
Yeah, we think there's some players down the line that we can get to help us, and hopefully we'll be in the area to get those guys.
Mark, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the selection of Eric Flowers.
Thank you.
Mark Ross joining us here on the program as well. We're going to react to it with your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Hit us up on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Draft. A whole lot more to come from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, live right here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Still to come on the program, we're going to go via telephone to Eric Flowers, the Giants' first-round selection in the 2015 NFL Draft. So he'll join us here on the program. Plus, we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513. Hit us up on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Draft. All right, you heard from everybody here, and you heard from Coach Coughlin, Jerry Reese, Mark Ross. They had a couple different scenarios. I mean, I think there was that late movement by Sheriff, and there were rumors going on over the last 2 days that that's where he might go, is to the Washington Redskins. A little surprised they didn't take Williams, the defensive lineman. But feels like the Giants kind of had a few scenarios prepared, and there's a lot of measurables with this kid that they really liked.
Well, I think the intangible is the one that they should be in love with. And Mark
Nasty?
Ross talked about it. Nasty. He's going to get in a fight. He wants to prove that he's a tough physical guy. You know it.
Yep.
Maulers, man. Those are the guys that wear your defense down because they just keep going. And I'm looking at this scouting report. It says, loves to finish. After the whistle blows, he's still blocking.
And that's one of the greatest things that you can do as an offensive lineman. It's nothing cheap, but at that end there, when the whistle blows, you're going to give that little push.
That's right.
You're going to give that little push. And the reason why you're doing that is so that a defensive tackle knows for this entire game you're going to be on him,
exactly.
You're going to finish him, and you're going to be in his face for 4-plus quarters.
I want to ask you about Jeff Schwartz before we get to the phone lines. And we've got some callers on the line that want to join us at 201-939-4513. Plus, Eric Flowers is going to join us on the show via telephone. Jeff Schwartz, here's a guy that played a lot in his career on the right side. Last year they used him on the left side, but he was hurt pretty much. He got hurt in the preseason. And kind of interesting with him where he kind of fits into this mix, because the Giants spent decent money on him to bring him in as a free agent last year. Where do you see the best fit for a guy like Jeff Schwartz if he's healthy?
Number one, if he is healthy, you'd want him back at right guard, which is his natural position, which he's played the entire time. But having said that, we don't know. That's the good thing about this,
yeah,
is because of the competition that it brings and because of the versatility of everybody amongst the offensive line. The thing you want to create, and what Pat Flaherty said, I'm going to put the five best offensive linemen on the field, and from there we will go. And this, we will find out who the five,
yes,
best are. We're going to find out who's going to work to earn it. And we're going to see game day, week one, who are solidifying five offensive linemen who will be for the next 17 weeks.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation, but we shift gears a little bit, because joining us live on the guest line right now is Eric Flowers, selected by the Giants with the 9th overall pick in this year's draft. Eric, Bob Papa, Carl Banks, David Deal, welcome to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live. Congratulations on being selected by the Giants. What was the first thought that went through your mind when you saw that it was the Giants picking you?
Man, it was kind of, I still don't believe it. Man, that was a great phone call, man. I'm really excited right now.
Let me ask you this. In the lead up to the draft, did you have a lot of interaction with Giants scouts and coaches and Giants people?
Yeah, I had a lot of interaction. I had went out to dinner. You know, I took a visit, and they called me a few times. So it was. I had some real good interaction. So, you know.
Eric, Carl Banks here, Eric. What do you think you will have to do in terms of your fundamentals to make the adjustment to the next level, knowing that you're going to see a different level of competition on a weekly basis as opposed to the best teams in college?
You know, I got to work on my overall game, but mainly, you know, my technique. That's one thing I've been working on through this whole process. So I'm ready. I'm ready to get up there and take this coaching in and progress.
Eric, this is David Deal. You know, when we talked to Coach Coughlin and Jerry Reese and Mark Ross, they all said your toughness, your mean streak, your ability to get after people. Just talk a little bit about what you love about playing offensive line.
I love everything about it. I mean, main thing I love is, you know, seeing the running back running through the hole that I helped create it. So, I mean, you know, I love everything about offensive line. So.
Well, you got some running backs that are just dying to get some holes because the running game here with the Giants hasn't been very good this last season, and I think that's one area of emphasis that they really want to get back on track so there's balance on the offense. So I think that'll be a great opportunity for you.
Yes, sir. Sure, it'll be a great opportunity.
All right, so, Eric, let me ask you this. We got David Deal on set. He's wearing his 2 Super Bowl rings with the New York Giants. He was the starting left tackle when the Giants beat the Patriots in 2007, Super Bowl 42, and then Super Bowl 46. Got Carl Banks, who won a pair of Super Bowls with the Giants, 1986 and 1990, linebacker. What does it mean to you to come to a franchise that has a winning tradition and has a steep tradition in the National Football League like the Giants?
I mean everything. That's a great organization. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's all about winning. So coming to an organization who's known for winning, that's everything in football. So I'm really excited, man. I'm ready to get up there and you know, and just go to work and get better.
David, you got a message for him of, listen, you played for Coach Flaherty. You know what
it is. I can play anything on the line. I'll play anywhere. You know, I want to make a contribution, so I'll play anywhere.
He just wants to play. Well, David, let me ask you something. You got any advice for Eric as to what he needs to do as a young guy coming in?
I would say the biggest thing is get around a veteran. Get around an older guy. Obviously, you're coming from a great program like Miami, coming to New Jersey, but there is a lot to be learned. Where to live, how to go about the process of practicing, the weekly routines. Get with a veteran, follow him, get in his back pocket and learn the way to be a veteran and learn the way to be a pro athlete and an NFL player.
Okay, appreciate it.
There you go, Eric. Well, listen.
I will do that.
Well, listen, we look forward to meeting you when you come to the Giants, and congratulations on being selected 9th overall.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right.
We'll see you soon.
Congratulations, Eric. Okay.
All right, that's appreciate Eric it. Flowers joining us here on the program. You can hear the pure excitement in his voice. I mean, he's still a little numb at the fact that he went 9th overall in the draft. And now he's going to be a member of the New York Giants.
The intangibles, Bob. The intangibles, when David said, learn how to be a pro, and you look down at his scouting report and says, confident attitude, self-starter. The NFL, today's NFL, gives you a lot of opportunity to get a scholarship mentality and not want to be your best. When you look at those things, those two things, self-confident and self-starter, you know that's a kid that wants to be good.
And if it winds up being Jeff Schwartz lined up next to him, say at right guard, and Eric Flowers, how important will it be for him to have a guy that has that much experience next to him like a guy like Schwartz?
It'll be very important because, once again, number one, it'll let you be comfortable because you're confident that the veteran next to you has played, he has game experience, and knows the offense. But, two, the biggest thing that it'll help with double teams that fit that cohesion because, you know, Jeff Schwartz, whoever's playing guard with him after playing, okay, we need to get our footwork right. We need to get those timing things right, just like a quarterback and wide receiver. So those are the great things about having a veteran offensive line that's played a lot of games because of the sheer fact he knows the timing, he knows what it takes, and it all starts with individual practice and individual film watch.
I have one more question for you, and I think you could be best to answer this.
Okay.
Because you were the starting left tackle for two Super Bowl championship teams. But people always say, Deal's more of a guard.
Yep.
So now you have Justin Pugh, who played guard, but he wants to be a tackle.
Yeah.
Now they draft a guy to play tackle. What's Justin Pugh thinking right now?
Justin Pugh, I know Justin Pugh. I've played with him. I played right guard next to him and really tried to mentor him my rookie year. The thing I love about Justin Pugh, he is selfless. He will play any position you put him on the offensive line. I talked to him this week about it. All he wants to do is win football games, and that's the biggest thing. And when you do that, when you're a selfless offensive lineman, when you're willing to be the guy that'll play any position, not only will your teammates see your value, but the organization will as well.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Good stuff from both David and Carl Banks as we continue with Giants First and 10. Draft Night Live presented by Verizon right here on MSG.
The New York Giants select.
Heart's beating 1,000 beats per minute.
Something I remember for a lifetime.
It's going to be a great feeling. I can't wait to run out there.
I'm here to represent.
I love my team, man. Thank you, John McCaffrey.
Hi, I was just happy to be drafted. You know, back then it wasn't televised like it is today. And I went in the fourth round, and I was waiting at an apartment with one of my buddies from Notre Dame. He found out relatively quick, but I really don't remember what time the phone call came, but I'm not even sure if it was the same day, if it was the next day. But I remember sweating it out, and the phone kept ringing because everybody was calling up my buddy Mike. And it suddenly dawned on me that, you know, if the phone's busy, how are they going to call me? I didn't know much about the Giants. In fact, one of my buddies who was with me that day, he kind of had to fill me in on what the Giants were all about. He told me about Zeke Mowat. He told me about, you know, Phil Sims. He told me about this great coach they had, Bill Parcells. So, you know, I really didn't have much experience. I didn't know that much about him. I was always kind of in my own little world. But when Bill Parcells got on the phone and I talked to him, you know, I had a sense that this guy was something special. And when I got to the Giants and I saw the guys, you know, I kind of figured that they were going places.
The New York Giants select.
Heart's beating 1,000 beats per minute.
Something I remember for a lifetime.
Talk about value in a draft pick. Mark Bavaro going in the fourth round to the New York Giants in 1985. And, Carl, before we get to the phone calls, you two guys are forever linked.
Yeah.
Because you both always credit each other for making you each better players.
Yeah, I think Coach Belichick said it best at this year's Super Bowl. It was must-see practices. Our competition, when we went in 9-on-7 and one-on-one drills, it was Mark and I that literally we knew we were going to go to war in practice, and whoever won it, we would give a tip on what I did better than he did, and it was always something. It was a tough battle, so we did make each other better.
Didn't even do that now. The practices are
talk
a lot.
Talk about it.
They walk through it.
If I do this in a walkthrough, will you do this or will you do that?
I could go along the same lines as him. I was drafted in the 03 draft class along with OC Umanyora. And OC and I would compete day in and day out, especially on Thursdays, the big third down days, yeah, the pass rush days. He was my best coach because we would watch film together. He would tell me things that he saw that I would do technique-wise. Yeah. If I got him good, he'd be like, what'd you see? And I would tell him.
Yeah.
And it was the best way to evaluate one another when one of your peers is looking through his face mask and telling you the keys that he's picking up on you.
Well, hopefully Eric Flowers gets an opportunity to learn a little bit that way in his time with the New York Giants. Telephone number is 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phone lines and go to the Bronx. And Deslock, you're on the program. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
All right. First of all, I'd like to say to David Deal and Carl Banks, thank you for bringing the championships to New York City.
You're very welcome.
Very, very welcome. It was our pleasure.
Oh. Yeah. Only thing I was just trying to understand, we got Eric Flowers. That's good that we had the position for the offense. But I want to know what's going to go on with Antrell Roll, who's a big key player for the defense. How do you think we're going to handle that on the second round?
Well, I would think they have to address that because it's no secret that they have a gaping hole in the secondary. And if you're going to have an aggressive defense under Steve Spagnuolo,
your two safety positions have got to do two things. They've got to be able to cover. They've got to be able to blitz. And, oh, by the way, they've got to tackle, too, because they're going to take some risk.
Take a look at the depth chart right now, and it is devoid of experienced players.
Sure.
I mean, with Stevie Brown, looks like he's going to sign with the Houston Texans. You got Burhey, Cooper Taylor, Shockey Brown, all kind of unproven.
But you know what? That's okay if they're unproven. My question is, Burhey, Cooper Taylor, are you hungry? Do you want to compete for a job, or do you want to just be a guy that moves down on the depth chart when the next guy comes in? You want competition at the safety position also.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, David, you know, most experts say that this is not a deep draft when it comes to safeties. It's a little limited when it comes to the safety play. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? Because isn't it sometimes more about scheme than it is about how people rate guys?
Especially in Steve Spagnuolo's scheme. This is a scheme where, yes, you want to be aggressive. Yes, you want to be on the tack. But what's the biggest thing? Do your job.
Yep.
Be in the place where you're supposed to be, whether it's man, whether it's zone. Everybody has their job. As long as everybody is on the same page, they're in the positions that they need to be in, this defense can be successful.
What about it, Carl, as far as trying to find pieces that fit into this defense?
Look at the best safeties in football right now, and I can tell you a good majority of them weren't drafted in the first round. So they can tell you that there's not a lot of depth or a lot of good players. Well, there are not a lot of good players that are worthy of a first-round pick. Doesn't mean that there are not a lot of good players that are worthy of being starters in this league and being very good football players.
Well, you're sitting next to a guy who was drafted in the fifth round and started every game, 16 consecutive games for what, the first 8 years of your career, seven years of your career?
Yep.
And listen, one of the guys who's considered one of the best corners in the National Football League, we'll all agree upon that, if not the best, one of the best, Richard Sherman was a fifth round pick. So, like, you know, what was the deal with him coming into the draft?
Yeah.
Evidently, he wasn't good enough. And now he's one of the best in the league. All right, let's continue with the phone calls. Tony on Long Island, welcome to Giants Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon.
Yeah, that's fine. How you doing, guys?
Good, hey, Tony.
Good, and thank you again for being so Giants, good Giants for many years. My question is, well, not my question, but my comment is that now that you drafted a guy in Flowers who can play both tackle positions, he's most likely going to end up at right tackle. Moving Pugh over to left guard would actually help Beattie get back to his best play, like he was a few years ago when he had a left guard that can play at a high level. Beattie can, again, now get the help he needs at that side to play at the high level that he was at a couple of years ago. Back in the last couple of years, he was hurt, and he really didn't have anybody that he can trust next to him. This might actually help him play better.
All right, Tony, we appreciate the phone call. We're going to get into it a little bit. David, do you think that Will Beattie did not have a good year in 2013. It was your last year in the league. He didn't play well, got injured. But don't you think he played fairly well this past season?
Yeah, I think he did play fairly well, but he does bring up a great point that when you're on the offensive line, you have got to have complete confidence in the person next to you. When you have a young rookie in Weston Richburg playing next to you, it takes away from your game because not only are you worried about what you're doing, you're worried about communicating to the guy next to you to make sure that he's on the same page as you as well.
Well, I'll say this. Fans, you got your guy. Now let the coaches configure the offensive line because I think you'll have the best players out there. I wouldn't play fantasy or make-believe GM right now. Let the coaches do their job now. You'll get a collection of players, and I think they'll, as Coughlin said, they'll put the best five guys on the field.
All right, and what the Giants really need with this offensive line configuration is they need everybody to stay healthy or relatively healthy. You know, they lost Jeff Schwartz like they, so that you can put five out there, let them practice, let them play in the preseason games, and then you sort out the competition that way as opposed to having to force guys in because half the guys are on the side being injured. We're going to come back with some final thoughts. Hope you're enjoying this edition of Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon right here on MSG. And we're back here on Giants First and 10. Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. All right, guys, so obviously we've talked about Ereck Flowers getting selected ninth overall by the Giants. Mm-hmm. There were some opportunities, as Jerry Reese said, there were some defensive players that were on the board that could have clearly helped this football team. They go offensive line. Carl, what do you see the Giants trying to do here with the next round in this draft as far as what they try to attack?
Well, I think it's going to be need. But if you go back to the Flowers pick, it was a great investment because he's a young man and they play a long-time offensive lineman. So now you look at need. Defense, if there's a player there, you got to get it. Maybe if there's another receiver there or another lineman, they may go again. But you're investing in long-term health of your quarterback position and your offense with your first pick. Second pick, it's more of a need, and you still need an impact player. I think it's going to be on the defensive side.
I agree with you completely. If it's not the safety position, another position I would look at, a defensive lineman and a linebacker.
Yep.
In this defense and Steve Spagnuolo's, I know firsthand how important Antonio Pierce was to that defense,
yep,
getting everybody on the same page, communicating on what he visually sees and identifies, and spreading it to the rest of the defense. Mm-hmm. John Beeson has that ability, but if John Beeson is not there, you have to have somebody to step up, fill those shoes, and do it long-term
and
for this organization.
And you need role players on your defense. Right now, in this current roster, with the exception of Devon Kennard,
yep,
and John Beeson, you don't have role players. You don't have a guy who's your blitzer. You need to be able to interchange guys, and that's one thing that Steve Spagnuolo did. When Mathias Kiwanuka, all of a sudden he came in the game, he was a role player, you know?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the weekend unfolds for the New York Giants. But, gentlemen, a lot of fun. Banksy, great doing it again,
back
as always.
Back in the saddle.
Mr. Home Depot. And, David, thank you so much for joining us.
Ernie, it's great being here.
And David's going to be part of our coverage throughout the course of the season when we do Giants Press Conference Live on Wednesdays. And we're going to keep things ramped up this summer. Make sure you join us right here on MSG. It is your home for the New York Giants. We'll bring you Giants Training Camp Live and, obviously, during the course of the season, Giants First and 10. But for Carl Banks, David Deal, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon right here on MSG.